I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Really interesting to find out whether the Cowboys can continue to play the same way when Dak Prescott is actually back. I don't know if they can. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus, and of course on your smart speaker as well, Christopher Greenberg Canty.
Greenberg?
Why not?
Am I Jewish now?
No, I looked up and I saw Greeny's jersey over there, and that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Shout out to all of the people that are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. And certainly we are keeping our thoughts with everybody who is down in Florida right now and everything that you are dealing with today. And we are praying that this hurricane does not do the damage that people are anticipating. But we are a sports show, and we will hopefully be the distraction for you for the next few hours. So let's get it rolling.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Cooper Rush is going to join Roger Staubach and Jason Garrett as the only Cowboy quarterbacks in history to win their first three starts.
You want to get off in the division on the right foot. You know, it's just kind of what we want to do. We want to come in here. You know, a division game is what it's about.
One place to start is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Canty, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday on our show from 3 to 7 p.m. on ESPN Radio, Eastern Time, that is.
Shameless plug.
Always. Listen, with Dak Prescott being out and the Cowboys playing the way they are and Cooper Rush keeping them right in the mix and playing well enough with a very balanced attack, it's going to be very interesting to see if the Cowboys continue to play this way when Dak Prescott comes back, because as you detailed yesterday, there are plenty of reasons to believe that they can, but I don't know that Jerry Jones, I don't know that if things go south one game, I don't know if Dak Prescott, for that matter, will allow them to continue to play this way where they are running it and passing it 50-50.
Well, isn't Mike McCarthy the head coach?
In theory,
it should ultimately be up to him to determine the formula for success. And so Jones is going out there and publicly saying things in radio interviews, I think we have to acknowledge where the Cowboys have had success, and that being using the running game to set up opportunities in play action passing. And I think that's where Cooper Rush has thrived. He's also been able to find answers when teams try to blitz him. The Bengals did it, didn't work out for them. He had a 99 QBR against the blitz versus the Bengals. Against the New York Giants, Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, he's never seen a blitz that he doesn't like. Cooper Rush, 96.3 QBR against the blitz. I think being efficient in those situations where you are passing and you're facing pressure, that matters. But ultimately, all of those successes in the passing game are set up by being able to run the football.
Look, Jerry told us all offseason and during the preseason especially that as Zeke Elliott goes, so go the Cowboys. And yet, we see them finally run the ball that way the other night with Tony Pollard and Zeke. And you're thinking, well, this is what he was talking about, right? But it took Dak to actually be out. Listen to what he had to say about Cooper Rush. And when you hear this, you're going to hear what sounds like a few compliments. But really listen very closely to what Jerry says.
He's certainly playing as well as anybody could have expected. And I'm real impressed with his protection. I'm very impressed with the running game that he's working behind. All of those things, he would be the first to tell you, make his job good play attainable. But I don't want to take anything away from him. There's no question. He understands this offense. He has got the makeup for a top quarterback, and I underline the word makeup for a top quarterback.
That is Jerry Jones yesterday on 105.3 The Fan. So
just, man, that's like saying with all due respect.
Yes, no, that is the backhanded compliment. That's saying to somebody, listen, I don't care what everybody's saying. You're great. That's exactly what that's saying.
Yeah.
It's saying he's doing a great job because of his run game, because of the protection, because he's got great makeup, and I emphasize makeup.
I underline the word makeup.
Yeah, not skills, makeup.
Yeah.
Like, all of that is Jerry saying, boy, I can't wait for Dak to get back because I feel like we're dodging some bullets here. But I also think that Jerry wants Dak back because he's paying him $40 million a year, and he realizes that when they went off this offseason and they traded away Amari Cooper and they let Lael Collins go, Chris, that Dak was going to have to start to be the force multiplier, and that's what he wants to see.
Well, rushing back Dak Prescott would be a mistake, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Cooper Rush is winning football games for you, and they're favored to beat the Washington Commanders in week four. So as long as Cooper Rush is winning games and Dak Prescott is on the mend, the status quo should remain the same. Cooper Rush should be under center. Now, when Dak is 100% healthy, he's your guy. This is not the Tony Romo situation. Dak Prescott is on the right side of 30, and you just paid him $40 million a year. Dak is your dude. And also, Cooper Rush has been in the Cowboys organization for 5 years. They know who he is. More importantly, they know who he's not. He's a very good backup quarterback that's doing his job at a really high level. He's starring in his role, but he's just a role player. Dak Prescott is the face of the franchise. And so I don't think there's any quarterback controversy. The biggest thing for me with the Dallas Cowboys is to understand what the identity of the team and, more importantly, the offense has to be in order for this team to have success.
Well, let's get there. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. And, yes, he has been, Cooper Rush, a great tourniquet to help stop the bleeding.
Mm.
But do you honestly believe that they are going to continue to play like this? This has been winning football. This has been the winning formula.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. It should not matter who the quarterback is. I am just having trouble believing that in the moment they're not going to get antsy with what this is, even though it's not like playing the other way has given you the success that you needed.
No, I don't think they're going to get antsy, though, Carlin. I think that every team comes into the season with an idea of who they think they're going to be, and after the first month or so, they realize who they have to be.
Okay, is this who they have to be?
This is who they have to be. They have to be a team that's led by their defense. Their defense is going to win the day. But what complements that defense? A strong running game and an offense that can sustain drives and control time of possession. And we saw that Monday night against the Giants. The Dallas Cowboys held the ball for over 32 minutes. What do you think that does to your defensive line and your pass rush? It keeps those guys fresh. That's how you have 24 pressures, 12 quarterback hits, and 5 sacks on Daniel Jones. That offense being able to control the line of scrimmage and run the football. I thought Jason Peters stepping in at left guard was a godsend in terms of being able to get them more surge at the point of attack when they're running behind that left side of the offensive line. But I just think it has to be about putting multiple tight ends on the field, dictating to the defense what kind of coverages they can run, and then ultimately when you get the right looks, taking advantage of shot plays in play action. In week two, I mean, we saw the Dallas Cowboys make a shift to having multiple tight ends on the field. 44% of the time in the last two games, they've had multiple tight ends on the field. Conversely, in week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they only had multiple tight ends on the field 18% of the time. So you're seeing that offensively, you're more efficient when you use those tight ends, you lead with that running game, and then you use the play-action passing game as the complement off of that.
Can they beat the Rams like this?
Yeah, they can beat anybody like this.
They can beat anybody like this.
They can beat anybody
like
this.
See, I'm not convinced of that.
They can beat anybody like this.
They
ain't going to beat teams opening up the set. I can promise you that.
No, I get that.
They're not going to do that.
I get that. But, Chris, if they're falling behind a couple of touchdowns to Philadelphia, if they're falling behind to the Rams, if they're falling behind to Green Bay, and I think the rest of the schedule actually plays
Carlin,
to their
you're not
going to
fall behind with those teams based on how their defense is playing. You're not. Look at what their defense is doing. You're not going to fall behind with that defense.
I think their defense is doing pretty well considering You had Tampa Bay in week one, who still is not right offensively.
You had the Cincinnati Bengals week two.
Yeah, the Bengals week two.
Michael Parsons wrecked that game.
Yes, but we have both talked about the fact that the Bengals offensive line is still learning to play together, and that was a big issue in that game. And then you had the Giants the other night, who I don't care if they were 2-0 going in, aren't very good. So we may learn more about this team later in the year. I am not convinced that if things go sour, let's say Dak is back for Philadelphia, okay, in the middle of October.
Yeah.
I am not convinced that Jerry isn't at that point going to say, we need to get back to being the other team that we were before, because Zeke doesn't have enough left in the tank, because Tony Pollard's not good enough to keep us productive enough in the run game when he can't pass block. We got these kind of issues. We need to get back to being that other
team. So let me get this right. You think you're going to win in a shootout against the Eagles?
I'm not saying I think you're going to win.
You think Jerry Jones thinks he's going to win in a shootout against the Eagles?
I think it's possible.
Man, stop yourself.
I think it's possible he thinks that.
Ain't no way in hell. There's no chance that you're going to win in a shootout against the Eagles.
It comes back to this.
It has to be a low-scoring affair, and the only way to do that is use your offense, use your running game to dictate the complexion of the game.
This is the problem here. Ultimately, Jerry Jones doesn't just want to win. Jerry Jones wants to win his way. Am I wrong about that?
I can't argue that because,
we've had the opportunity
for years.
Jimmy
Johnson is not in the Ring of Honor. Come on, man. I mean, how can I argue that Jerry doesn't want to win his way? Of course he wants to win his way. But what I'm saying is, as the head coach, if you're Mike McCarthy and you recognize that you've got to actually win playoff games this year, and I mean plural, in order to keep your job, do it your way. Because if it doesn't work out, if you do it Jerry's way and it doesn't work out, you're going to get fired anyway.
Yep.
So go ahead and go with the formula that we've seen your team have success early on in the season with.
It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are just getting started on a jam-packed show. So much more to come your way. And we have plenty to discuss when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, which we will get to in a bit, and the idea that maybe – just maybe injuries could derail their season. But up next, Bill Belichick and the Patriots are in a rather precarious spot. Is it time now for New England to move on in more ways than one? We'll explain. Canty and Carlin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply today. It's all next. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So I was perusing some statistics. You know what I found out?
What you got?
Brian Hoyer, not good at football.
You needed to look at statistics to find out?
No, it's just a confirmation.
Okay.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and no offense to Brian Hoyer. He's been a longtime backup in this league.
Great work if you can find it, by the way.
Oh, tremendous
Brian
work.
Hoyer. Brian Hoyer, Chase Daniel, guys like that that stay around forever in the backup role but never really play.
I want to see what the career earnings are on Brian Hoyer. That's what I want to know.
I know he's had to make over $50 million.
He has to have made over $50 million. Yeah. There's no doubt. Him and I think Chase Daniel definitively has made over $50 million. Unbelievable.
It really is.
But having said that, we're probably going to get a dose of Brian Hoyer this week.
Okay.
New England Patriots. Mac Jones going to be out for several weeks, it appears, with a high ankle sprain, even though nobody will confirm that Mac Jones even exists at this point in New England. Chris, this leads to a bigger discussion because you and I did the Patriots-Ravens game the other day for ESPN Radio up in Foxborough. And I really came away from that game and having seen them the week before in Pittsburgh, believing that for certain, the Patriots are very much on the way down. This is not a team that is going to sneak into the playoffs this year and make it like they did last year and then get their doors blown off. That's not what they are. They are a team on the decline. And for me, when you start to look at the bigger picture there, Mac Jones is out for a bit. We know
you
what Brian Hoyer.
I think that's going to be an extended absence from Mac Jones.
Several weeks.
They're going back and forth on whether or not he needs to have surgery for this high ankle sprain. That's how severe it is.
Yeah. So it's
going to be a while before we see Mac Jones out on a football field again.
So what does this mean for New England? For me, I've been of the opinion that they needed to start thinking about tearing this whole thing down to begin with and moving into the next era. Does that involve Bill Belichick as the coach? Or does it involve him as the GM of the team, picking his successor? What does it all look like? I can't imagine that at the age of 70, even though he continues to want to coach, going through a rebuild at this time is something that he would be terribly excited about. And it feels like, tell me if I'm wrong, that he has been trying to keep this together with duct tape over the last couple of years, and it hasn't worked.
Yeah, post Tom Brady, it hadn't looked great for the Patriots. They did have the playoff appearance last year, but I don't know that that's a sign of things to come in terms of being able to have sustained success and get back to the tournament every single year like we saw them when he had Tom Brady. So it begs the question, is this the time to strip it down, knowing that you're going to be missing your quarterback for a significant portion of the season? And my answer to that would probably be, yeah, if it is going to be a situation where you're not going to win a lot of games, you're not going to be in the playoffs, you have to think about potentially trading off players to acquire more assets in order to get younger players in the draft next offseason. But if you're going to go that route, should you transition from Bill Belichick being your head coach? I think you have to ask that question if you're pushing the reset button on the team.
What if Bill Belichick doesn't want to do that? What if he wants to continue to coach? They're not firing him, certainly.
Well, no, they're not going to fire him. At that point, if you're Robert Kraft, you're just going to let Bill Belichick hold you hostage. But I think the enticement or the advantage that Robert Kraft could offer Bill Belichick is an opportunity to keep a lot of his lieutenants around in Foxborough, right? If you're going to move into the front office and be an executive, I can assure you that Steve Belichick will be on the next coach's staff. Mm-hmm. Gerard Mayo would be on the next coach's staff. You know, you can start going Matt Patricia and Joe Judge can be on the next coach's staff. You can sell that to Bill Belichick as an advantage to try to get him to transition from the sidelines to the front office.
I don't know if I want that. And here's the point.
You can't get rid of him. You can't get rid of him. You can't fire him. So
no,
what's your alternative?
Let me ask you this. Considering how it's been with the Patriots when it comes to drafting players and acquiring talent. Do you want Bill Belichick as the GM making all the decisions moving forward? Do you want him picking his successor and keeping all of his lieutenants in place?
Well,
do you want that?
Here's the thing. Bill Belichick knows football.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that.
But his drafts have been bad. I mean, can we agree about that?
Well, yeah, but he's also the head coach. I think if he's doing one or the other, he can do either one of those jobs at a really high level. If he's just the executive, the general manager of the team, and he's focused on personnel only and not game plans, I think you'd probably get a different result when it comes to picking the groceries in order to build the team.
Okay, well, the shopping for the groceries has not gone well because he's been going in the
I just said he was also wearing a hat of being the head coach.
I know, but he's been doing this forever, though. That's the point.
Well, he's been doing it. Okay, so he's been doing it forever, and he's got, what, 6 championships out of it?
Listen, if we're being real about it, he's gotten 6 championships out of it, but most of it's had to do with the quarterback. We know this at this point. I mean, I'm not gonna say he can't coach. Obviously, he can.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about it. I mean, think about it. He's probably the best defensive mastermind in all of the history of the game of football.
I agree with that, too. All I'm saying is that when it comes to picking his successors, or when it comes to picking the players, of late it hasn't gone well. And maybe it would go better if that's all he was doing. And it's not like his successors have gone on to other places and had immense success themselves. They haven't. Like, which of those assistant coaches has gone to be a really good coach in the league? So this is my point.
Carlin,
they are stuck in between a rock and a hard place.
It might not be the ideal situation, but it's the best of the options that you have. If you are going to transition or try to transition, you'd be much better off selling that to Bill Belichick in terms of keeping his lieutenants around and moving into the front office than you would be firing him and cleaning house and going with somebody else. That's not going to be received well by the New England Patriots fans.
And that's not going to happen.
So that's my point.
My problem is the Patriots, as a result of all of that, when you put this all together in the pot and you start to cook it up, you could be stuck in purgatory here for several years. You could be stuck right in the middle for several years. And that's where the problem lies. The utter look of disgust on your face right now with me is remarkable.
I'm only thinking about it because I don't know any head coach that wouldn't want the opportunity to choose his successor. I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking about how Bill Parcells tried to transition away from the New York Jets and hand that job off to Bill Belichick. Had it not been for an ownership change going from Leon Hess to Woody Johnson, Bill Belichick would be the head coach of the Jets today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would have happened.
Well, I mean, okay.
What do you mean?
I don't know if he'd still be the coach of the Jets today. But we don't know that he would have had the same success with the Jets that he had in New England. We don't know that because he...
Well, it's a hypothetical we can never prove, but we know Bill Belichick was a hell of a coach. So I'm just assuming that if that ownership change didn't happen, Bill Parcells would have passed the baton to Bill Belichick. And what I am saying is, ideally, I think Bill Belichick would like to have that same opportunity to pass the baton to the next head coach of the New England Patriots, having it be somebody that he would handpick.
If, in fact,
the owner wants to go a different direction and have a different voice for the team as far as the head coach, if you're going to tear it down this year, if you're punting on 2022, then I think you also have to consider moving to a new voice as your head coach.
So that's the question for you today. If you're a Patriots fan, are you comfortable with all of that? Be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So should Bill Belichick be shifting into a managerial-type role up above in the front office and be picking his successor and still running that team? It's going to happen. It's just, how comfortable are you with that if you're a Patriots fan? And frankly, is it time to just strip it all down and move into the next era? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to take your calls on the Dr. Pepper call-in line in just moments, so load them up right now. We also will get into Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and an incredibly huge matchup this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. All of that coming in 60 seconds after our friend Chris has this from our friends at ZipRecruiter. If I hand him the right copy.
There we go. Come on, teamwork. Speaking of handing the baton off. There are so many podcasts out right now, and it takes a team of people to help bring them together. Engineers, producers, assistants. Needless to say, hiring the right people for these roles is important. And whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your growing business, ZipRecruiter can help. ZipRecruiter's technology finds the right candidates for your job, and you can invite your top choices to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny to try it out for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Tom Brady came out of retirement for Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones.
You know, it's concerning. We didn't have to have those guys to win this ball game. We just needed to play smarter.
And so the execution wasn't there, the consistency.
So Tom Brady and the Buccaneers back in action this Sunday night. They have got the Kansas City Chiefs. We don't know where that game is going to be played as of yet, based on the hurricane and exactly what could happen. We had Jeff Darlington on our show yesterday, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, from 3 to 7 Eastern time. And Jeff said that it could be Minneapolis if they are moving that game this weekend.
Yeah, I think the Vikings are in London taking on the Saints.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yep. Could be Denver as well. That's also another possibility. Mm-hmm. So we'll obviously keep an eye on that. And football is secondary to Hurricane Ian in the Tampa Bay area, as we know right now. But when it comes to Brady and the Buccaneers and where they are, it's becoming more and more apparent to me, at least, that if the Buccaneers are going anywhere this year, Tom Brady is going to be a passenger on this trip as opposed to the guy who is driving the train.
No, I don't know about passenger. I think that's taking it a little bit too
co-pilot?
Far.
Co-pilot? You going to call him a co-pilot with the defense?
Yeah, he's like Goose in this one. Mm-hmm. And the defense is like Maverick.
Let's hope it ends better for him than it did for Goose.
Well, I'm talking about the younger version of Goose.
Oh, okay.
In Top Gun, the new one. New Top Gun. Yeah. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying in this. It's going to be led by the defense. The defense has to win today for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're the top defense in terms of EPA in all of football. Like, this is a unit that can get after the quarterback. Todd Bowles is very creative with the blitz packages that he brings. And that defensive line, they're pretty stout when it comes to stopping the run. So I think it has to be the defense allowing that offense to have some runway until they can get some guys back healthy. We got to keep this in mind, Carlin. You're talking about having 6 starters missing in that game against the Packers on Sunday. The team that we saw in week 3 is not going to be the team that we see at the end of the season. They're going to get a lot of guys back healthy. They're going to get Julio Jones back healthy. They're going to get Chris Godwin back healthy. With any luck in the second half of the season, Ryan Jensen will be back healthy, and we know how big that is, having their center back. Donovan Smith, we'll have to wait and see what happens with him. But all of these guys are going to get healthy, and that's the perfect time for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to hit their stride. Meanwhile, their defense will be able to help them tread water, and we also got to consider the fact they play in the NFC South. Who's going to challenge them?
It's a fair question right now. I'm thinking big picture beyond just winning the division at this point.
Well, in order to win a championship, mm-hmm. you got to get into the postseason. And the easiest path is winning your division. And they are going to win that division going away.
Yes, I don't disagree with
that. Okay, and all I'm simply saying is by the time we get to playoff football, you'll be a much healthier roster than you are right now, which is why I'm not worried about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Is this a time, though, where you're going to look at the Buccaneers and the reason that they're going to get home this year is because the defense is that much better? Like, I don't look at them and say they're going to be scoring 35 points a game when we get to the postseason. I think they'll be obviously much better offensively than they are right now. But ultimately, my point would be the biggest difference for Tampa this season, because I don't believe – we've had this discussion, and I know you're not on board with it.
Mm.
I don't believe that this is the same Brady. I think that if Tom – if you gave him a shot of truth serum right now, my opinion, he right now wishes he probably didn't come back. And what I mean by that is he retired the first time, right?
Yeah.
Then he comes back. He sees all of the impact that this decision of his now has on everybody else in his life.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it has caused some consternation for him, clearly, since he decided to come back.
Okay.
So I think that there is more to Tom during this football season, more things that he's thinking about than ever before as far as his future and what he is focused on. I think he'd rather go one of two ways here. He would have rather have never retired at all, and maybe we wouldn't have been dealing with this right now because, you know, reportedly there was she was upset that with the way he handled it specifically.
Uh-huh.
And then, or the fact that he has come back and had this many, these many things going on in the background, was it really worth it for him at this point to come back and play again?
I don't know if I'm willing to go there, and if I'm going to give any athlete the benefit of the doubt when it comes to compartmentalizing their personal life and their professional life, it would be the greatest quarterback of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom Brady has earned that. I don't know that I can sit here and say that we're seeing a diminished skill set or a diminished mental capacity
mm-hmm.
at age 45. I just think he's dealing with having so many injuries on his team. It's hard to overcome having this much talent out of one unit of your football team. You're talking about six starters being gone. Like Donovan Smith is gone right now. Ryan Jensen is gone right now. They had a they had an injury at the left guard spot, and they're starting one of their young guys, I think a second-year player. Then you've got Chris Godwin out. He went mm-hmm. out in the first game with a hamstring. Julio Jones is out. Mike Evans was suspended. If you're talking about taking six starters off of any unit on any football team, it's going to have an adverse effect. It's going to impact their production. I think when Tom Brady gets those pieces back, we can make a true evaluation of what they'll be. And in my opinion, it's going to be an offense that's going to be good. They may not be as good as what they were last year when Tom Brady led the league in passing and threw 42 touchdowns or whatever it was, but I still think they're going to be damn good.
I think they'll be good enough. Not good enough like not like good enough like they're only going to score 20 points
no,
a game.
No, they'll be good, but here's the thing.
More than good enough for a good defense.
That's the point. And
yes.
That's what I was getting at. And that's why I think they can contend at a championship level. And I said it coming into this year. Tom Brady in that offense, it's not going to look like what it was last year. And it shouldn't because he's age 45. At some point, that defense is going to have to pick up the slack. And those guys have answered the bell in terms of accepting that challenge and going out there and performing.
You're lining up. We're hitting you next on the Patriots and where this should be headed for the future at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There are so many podcasts right now, and it takes a team of people to bring them together. Whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your growing business, one place makes it easy, ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. All of that is on the way, plus the Buffalo Bills and the injuries that are piling up. Is there a real concern that they could derail the Bills' championship chase this year?
Greeny, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Pats fans speaking up. Let's hear from them. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits, go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. Bundle today at progressive.com. We start with Steve on ESPN Radio up first. Steve, what's going on, bud?
Hey, morning, fellas. So, my opinion about Bill Belichick moving on from the head coach is, I mean, I'm adverse to that because there are no better coaches available. You're not going to find one in college. You're not going to find one available up-and-coming coordinator. So, I would prefer Belichick stay as the coach. And if that means that the team has to go through a couple of bad seasons, then my opinion is that this is the other side of the coin to the six championships. We've had great success with Belichick being the coach and GM, and why change it?
Listen, I get that, Steve. I get that, and by no means are we suggesting fire him, or are we suggesting Robert Kraft is going to have to go and have that talk if it's time to do something. It's, does Bill want to do it and pick his successor? Because he is at 70 years old, and we know he loves being out on the boat. Like, is this something he continues to want to do when you're going to be going through a rebuild?
No, I'm with you on the Patriots not firing Bill Belichick. I don't know that Robert Kraft doesn't go to Bill Belichick and discuss transitioning to the front office. I think that's a legitimate conversation. If, in fact, the Patriots are going to be a bad football team this year, and with your starting quarterback missing a significant portion of the season, I think it's safe to assume. This is not a team that has a ton of talent on it anyway. So I think when you're asking yourself, is it time to push the reset button on the team and the personnel that we have, I think you also have to have the conversation of, is it time to transition to a different voice at the head coaching spot? Now, ultimately, you may settle on no being the answer, but you also have to ask Bill Belichick if he can be honest in making an assessment of this team and where they're at, and if he has the stomach for a rebuild, because both of us think the Patriots are on the verge of having to make that decision.
Austin is up next on ESPN Radio. Austin, what's going on, bud?
How you doing, guys?
Great.
So, honestly, I've been ready for a transition probably since that Eagles loss. Super Bowl with the drama with Malcolm Butler. I know I sound like a spoiled past fan because we've had so much success.
Yeah, but you won one after that.
Yeah,
that's what I don't understand. You won a chip right after that.
I know, but I get it. I mean, but Tom and Jules really showed up. I mean, there were great teams. There was a lot of talent.
Austin, I'm going to ask you a question respectfully. Austin, I'm going to ask you a question respectfully. How old are you?
34.
Yeah, okay. Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone.
Why are you disrespecting Austin?
That's not disrespecting him. He has not known anything but pure success, and he even admitted in there, I sound like a spoiled Pats fan, but I was ready to move on after they lost to the Eagles when they went and won another Super Bowl. That's not what a Patriots fan should have been thinking about then.
Nah, he didn't have to live the Andre Tippett and Steve Grogan and Urban Fryer days of Patriots.
You couldn't
football.
Pick Dick McPherson out of a lineup. Yeah. Who's kidding who?
But here's the thing. I get where he's coming from, though. And you wonder at some point whether or not Bill Belichick being the head coach of that franchise has run its course. And I'm not saying that it means that he has to be disassociated with the franchise. It just might be time to have new blood on the sidelines coaching these guys up.
Mike is next on ESPN Radio. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
So I just want to go back. I want to go back and revisit the conversation about Tom Brady and his mental capacity at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, I have a lot of respect for you guys, but Chris Canty, I think you have to stay in your lane when it comes to the personal side of things. You just got married a month ago. And you have no idea, okay, what is going to happen 20 years from now when you and your wife are going through a tough time and how it's going to affect you mentally. I assure you, I've been married for 40 years, and I assure you Tom Brady is struggling mentally with what's going on in his personal life. Now, that there, coupled with what's going on the field with the injuries and everything else, certainly adds to that. But rest assured, okay, that whole situation with him mentally and his current private situation is affecting him on the field. Thanks,
see,
guys.
I don't know. I don't know how you can say that, though. Yeah. You don't. You. How can you say that definitively?
I said
I don't know if I was going to give anybody the benefit of the doubt in compartmentalizing their personal life and professional life. It would be the quarterback that is considered arguably the greatest football player of all time.
Look,
that's all I said. I don't know either way. I don't know if it's affecting him. I don't know if it's not affecting him. I don't know how you can call our show and sit there and say that this is absolutely having an impact on Tom Brady and what we're seeing on the field. How the hell would you know that?
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.